At KeyBank, we're your trusted advisors. With nearly 200 years' experience in delivering for our clients, we're primed and ready to collaborate and create solutions tailored to your ideas and your vision. KeyBank opens doors. Learn more at key.com/advisor.
Here's your money briefing from Monday, October 23rd. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. You can't avoid dealing with your boss and coworkers, but for some, the constant drumbeat of distractions from workmates has driven them to a boiling point.
Things like office politics, gossip, just these things that are kind of simmering under the surface, this sense that there's more useless meetings, more busy work, and this feeling that I keep hearing from people of like, I just want to do my job. I wish I had more time to just do my actual job.
We'll talk to Wall Street Journal Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinsick after the break.
With access to some of the world's leading cybersecurity experts, KeyBank is dedicated to helping clients keep their data safe. Get insights to help protect your business from online attacks at key.com/cybersecurity.
For many people, they'd get a lot more work done during the day if coworkers would cut the chit-chat and just leave them alone. But does being left alone put them at risk of being left behind? Wall Street Journal Work and Life columnist Rachel Feinsick joins me. So, Rachel, people had lots of interruptions when they were working from home during the pandemic. Why has this become more of an issue now?
It's true that we had interruptions. Some of us were home with our kids trying to do school and all of our lives from the dining room table. We do know that working from home and time during the pandemic really cut down on things like office politics, gossip, just these things that are kind of simmering under the surface, like our shadow work lives that often take us away from our actual jobs. And now that we've seen both companies doubling down on calls to have people come back to the office, we recently had a story that many companies aren't just checking if you've badged in for the day, but how many hours that you're staying, that combined with an increase in pressure in many corners of the economy and the workplace, bosses and workers are feeling anxious. And all of that is bubbling up into these kinds of interruptions, this sense that there's more useless meetings, more busy work, and this feeling that I keep hearing from people of like, I wish I had more time to just do my actual job.
Yeah, when it gets to the chit-chat, short of standing up and shouting, everybody needs to shut the you-know-what up, how do you let your office mates know that the distractions are getting in the way of you doing your work?
A lot of it is about being proactive, right? So in the moment, you can do things like wearing headphones. But the thing I have mostly focused on in this piece is about how to make it so that you preemptively get that quiet. So one idea is to every week have a one-page document that you can send out to your bosses and to your colleagues as well, just outlining detailed status on your project. What work did you do last week? What permissions or roadblocks do you perceive needing from other people this coming week? What percentage done are you with this project? And you can link to past installments at the bottom so that when someone comes up to you and has a random question about your project, you can just gently, kindly, you don't have to be a jerk about it, but you can just refer them to the link and be like, I outlined it last week. Click here.
But what if it's the boss who's interrupting you and pulling you away from your work? How should somebody handle that?
A lot of that, again, is about managing up and being proactive. When it comes to the boss, you want to really make it clear that you're handling your own world. You have things under control. The more confidence they have in you, the more they're just going to leave you alone. I talked to someone who every Monday morning, he would take a look at the contours of his boss's schedule. So he would glean what he could from maybe taking a look, you know, at the boss's calendar, if you can access it, or just a sense of what's coming up on my team or in the company this week. And then he would proactively go to his manager and be like, I see you have a meeting with this client. Here's a report you could give them. And so the boss feels prepared. They know that you have everything under control. Now you've helped them totally prepare for their meeting. And then you know that you have this chunk of time to just be creative and really hunker down with the deep work.
Does it seem like people sometimes underestimate the value of something you said, managing up?
We think of it as like a boss is just telling us what to do and it goes one way. And that's certainly true. A lot of our job is about asking for permission, taking direction, but there's so much more freedom you can have when you build that confidence in your boss. This quote from someone I talked to for this piece about, like, you're handling your world. They don't have to worry about you. And that is well within our control in many boss-employee relationships.
But is there a downside to being left on your own and flying under the radar, whether you're at home or in the office? Could it leave you without a finger on the pulse of what's going on at the company?
Absolutely. This can work in a couple of ways. You could be left behind if the company kind of pivots direction. You don't even know what kind of the latest projects are. And even something like, you might be more likely to be laid off if you're not developing those kind of newer skills. And then you just might not get put on the coolest projects because no one even knows that you're out there if you're flying too under the radar.
If independence is really important to someone, what could they ask during a job interview, or what kind of research could they do to give them a picture of what to expect in terms of autonomy?
So this was a suggestion from Michael Solomon, who helps to lead this organization called 10X Management. And it's really interesting. They're actually agents for top tech talent. And part of it is on, like, the freelance marketplace. And his suggestion was to ask about how a team handles mistakes. And so you could ask that to a CEO. You could ask that to members of the team. And he said it's really telling, because if it's a situation where people aren't comfortable with mistakes or failures that happen, and the boss is going to be pushing those on you or trying to cover them up, that can really slow down work and just embroil you in a lot of drama that you probably don't want to be a part of. So that's one thing to ask. And then another thing is just to think about the size of the organization. He recommends organizations between 25 to 500 employees if this is something you're really interested in, valuing autonomy. Companies that are super small, there's the possibility that, you know, there's not enough people to do the work, so you end up just getting wrapped up in everything. And then when it gets too big, we do see a lot more of this bureaucracy and red tape and needing a million approvals that can really slow things down for people who want to feel like they are just producing every day.
That's Wall Street Journal columnist Rachel Feinsig. And that's it for your Money Briefing. We'll be back tomorrow morning with WSJ's Lindsay Ellis to discuss why some young entrepreneurs are dropping out of college to start their own AI startups. This episode was produced by Ariana Osperu, with supervising producer Melanie Roy. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.